Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, Romans chapter 5, and I'll tell you this morning, if you'll stick with me, the application, and what'll help you is at the end of the sermon. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Let's pray together. Father, please help me today to see the truth clearly and to speak the truth clearly. Lord, please bless each person this morning that has come to hear your pure, precious word. Lord, you're the only one that can help us. And Lord, if someone's lost and doesn't know you as their Savior, we pray that you'd please touch their heart about their condition. And Lord, the wonderful salvation that only comes through your precious blood. Father, we ask this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. When you read verse 1, let's work down our way through this passage here. When you read verse 1, it tells you how to have peace with God. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God says when we're justified or saved by faith, that gives us peace. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Which tells me this, if anyone anywhere on the face of the earth puts their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the Bible says they're saved. Okay? If anyone anywhere on the face of the earth has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible says they're condemned already because they have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Salvation is not a religion. Salvation is not a denomination. It's not belonging to a certain group or a faction. It's not following a certain man or obeying a set of rules and regulations. Salvation is faith and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, we can establish from Romans chapter 5 that the Lord Jesus is the Savior. No church is the Savior. Jesus is the way to heaven because he's the Savior. Jesus is the truth about going to heaven because he's the Savior. And Jesus is the eternal life of salvation because he is the Savior. When you ask people, what are you counting on to get you to heaven? They always mention their church or their works or their religion. Can I just tell you this morning, nothing else saves, no one else saves, only Jesus saves. Look at verse 6. We started reading there. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So God made provision for sinners because sinners couldn't make provisions for themselves. Look at verse 7. It says, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. God's trying to show his love for you, and if you think about it, you wouldn't die for someone that's like you. But it says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die. If you knew someone was the best person you ever met, you can appreciate them, you can love them, you can admire them. But would you die for them? That's what Jesus is pointing out here. He said, scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, one would even dare to die. A step down, you have a righteous person. Now pick a person that is the goodest that you've ever met. Would you die for them? You wouldn't die for somebody that you knew was a good person. Our love does not go that far. Look at the next verse. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God says, you wouldn't die for somebody like you. But God proved his love to you, and while you were still sinning against him, before you decided to do right, before you decided you wanted God, God died for you. That is love. And God said, I'm going to prove how much I love you. What a verse. Because Jesus, okay, look at verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, or saved by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So because Jesus died for us when we were sinners, when we were sinning against him, and not sinners, we were not sinners who wanted to do right. Because of that, much more, we're totally saved from the wrath of God by the blood of the Lamb. Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Here's those words again. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So if the death of Jesus on the cross totally saved us, then his rising from the dead is what keeps me saved. Much more. And he uses that word twice there. God is saying that he provides a salvation for... Now here's the sermon. God provides a salvation for your past, your present, and a salvation for your future. And I want to show you that this morning. Because we know we're saved, because we're not hoping, because we're not striving or fretting or worrying or wishing or thinking we were saved, we're actually saved. This is the reason that it closes with verse 11 and says, we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at our salvation in the past. Look at verse number 6 again. Ready? Look at everything God says we were before he saved us. I'm just going to point out some words. Ready? For when we were yet without strength, we had no strength to save ourselves. In due time Christ died for thee, we were ungodly. In verse number 7, it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. We weren't good. In verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet, we were sinners, lawbreakers, people who broke God's law. That's what we were before God saved us. That's the salvation of our past. Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, what were you before you got saved? You were an enemy of God. You fought God. And yet God died for you. God's just wanting us to look at this. Now, watch this. This does not suggest that I don't sin today. This doesn't suggest that I'm not going to sin tomorrow. But if you were saved at age 9 or 99, when you were saved, Jesus Christ died for the sins you committed 9 years ago or 99 years ago. It doesn't matter. Look, everyone has committed different types of sins. There are some people here this morning that can say, I have never consumed alcoholic beverages. There are others here this morning that can say, I've never consumed so much that I was intoxicated. There are other people here that could say, well, I've never consumed so much that I forgot what I was doing. Some say, I've never been addicted to alcohol. It doesn't matter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The level of sin does not matter. Jesus died for it all, praise God, no matter what level it's at. Okay, there's some people here this morning that can say, I've never killed a man. Okay? There's other people here that can say, I've never even thought about killing somebody. There's other people here that says, I've never killed a man because I missed. That's a joke. I wish you'd have heard that, okay? All right. Everyone here this morning is not a thief. Everybody here is not an adulterer. Jesus Christ did not go to the cross to die for a certain class of sins. Jesus didn't go to the cross to die for sins that just you think are nasty and bad. People get offended when you tell them that Jesus died for them because they're a sinner, because their definition of sin is different from what God's definition is. They define sin as something that other people do that's really bad. Other people sin. I do wrong, but I don't sin. I'm just telling you, that's the mentality today. And they think that they aren't that bad. They don't understand this morning that Galatians 3:10 says, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." If you can't keep the whole law, you're cursed to hell. James chapter 2 verse 10 says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." You say, "Well, I haven't broke all 10 commandments." Have you broke one? God says you break one, you've broken them all. They don't understand that. Because whenever you say, "What are you counting on to get you to heaven?" They go, "I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't robbed a bank." Well, I'm glad you haven't. You ever tell a lie? If you say no, you're a liar. If you break one of the commandments, God says you stand before Him as guilty of breaking them all. I know we're here in Romans chapter 5. In other words, listen closely. Jesus Christ died for Adolf Hitler just like He died for your son or daughter. As you read the Word of God, God says we're all under the same condemnation. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Later on in that chapter, John 3:36, Jesus said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Even though our list of sins that we've committed and omitted are different, we all need to be saved the same way through the blood of Jesus. It doesn't matter what your past is. You're saved the same way. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad when somebody comes in, they go, "Oh, that's a really bad sinner, Pat. Now there's a, hey, go over to the trailer and we got somebody, yeah, to get you saved is going to take you a lot longer." God doesn't do that. It's the same salvation for everybody, regardless of the sins of your past. God put everybody in the same vessel. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So Jesus Christ went to the cross for all sinners, for all sin, for all time, so we could tell every creature on this earth that we meet, "Hey, Jesus saves. You have a Savior. God loved you enough to provide for your salvation so you don't have to go to hell." Romans 5:8 says, "God," we read it, "commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So, this is wonderful. God, nobody comes to God and says, "You know what? I'd save you, but I ran out of room in heaven. I don't have any more spots." No, they're all open. God died for everybody. God proved His love for you by providing salvation for you because He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. I'm so glad. If you're saved, there are things you wish you hadn't done. That's true for every person that's saved. If you're saved, there are things you wish you could undo. And whatever those things are, Jesus died for it. Aren't you glad? There are things that you should have corrected, and there are things that you should have guarded more carefully. Can I just tell you this morning, whatever you regret, Jesus paid for it all. It doesn't make it right. It just means it's paid for. That's the past. So this morning, my past is covered by the salvation of God. I tried to draw a picture. It doesn't matter what your past is. It's covered by the salvation that God provides. Now, look at Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Watch this. "Much more then, being now," or presently, "justified," or saved, "by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." So when I called on the name of the Lord Jesus to save me, He saved me to the uttermost. He saved me totally. Even though I have failed Him and not pleased Him in so many things, what Jesus did when He saved me without my knowledge or my request was He declared me righteous by the blood He shed and His death. He saved me. And His powerful resurrected life, it keeps me saved. Take your Bible. Can you keep your finger there? Take your Bible and go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, and we're going to look there to verse 2. So we spent a little time looking at salvation of our past. It's under the salvation of God if you're saved. Now we're going to look at the salvation of our present. Watch this. Look at 1 John near Revelation. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not it. Doesn't verse 7 at the end say, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin? And then the next verse is, if we say we have no sin. So if you're a blood-bought child of God this morning, if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself, even though you're saved. That's why verse 9 kicks in. Watch this. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's talking to saved people. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the truth is not in us and His word is not in us. Now look at verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. It would be nice now if you don't sin. Right? That would be nice. It says here, and if any man sin, we have an advocate or a lawyer or someone to plead our case with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, colon. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let me apply this thought. Jesus covered my sins of the past with His salvation. But what about my present salvation? When you get saved, this is why you confess your sins. You don't have to get saved again. Because Jesus Christ died for your sins and His death on the cross saved you from sin, but Jesus' life keeps you saved. That's why He is your advocate now. Now, in Titus chapter, as a matter of fact, I'd like you to look at these. We have a little time this morning. Go to Titus chapter 3. Go back towards a little bit before Hebrews there. Go to Titus chapter 3. I want you to see something. What does God do now when He saves you? Well, I don't need you daydreaming. I need you thinking about what we're looking at this morning. I hope this blesses your heart. What is God doing for us now, our salvation now, presently? Look at Titus chapter 3 and look at verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration. That's getting born again, regened. Watch, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That word renewed should be underlined in your Bible. I want you to think about this just for a second. Listen closely, or you're going to misquote me. What Jesus did when He saved you, He keeps doing every day, presently. You only get saved one time, okay? Because He died for you one time 2,000 years ago. Listen, but now, presently, you are renewed by the Holy Ghost every day. You're saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing or making new by the Holy Ghost. You're kept saved by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. What's renewed mean? I could take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, listen, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Made new every day. Every day. This is why people can feel old and worn out and achy on the outside, but on the inside, if you want to rejoice in your salvation, it's just like the first day you got saved. Do you know why? Because every day you're renewed. You're made new again. It's nothing you do. It's something God does in you. You're renewed every day. Every day. That's why every day you can enjoy the fact that God saved you. Because it's just like the day you got saved. It's fresh. He makes you new every day, every moment. We could go to Lamentations 3 this morning, but it says, just listen to these verses. Lamentations 3 verse 21 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. There it is in the Old Testament. What's new every day? God's salvation that He gives you today is new every morning. As if the day He saved you, the renewing of the Holy Ghost day by day. So my sin, it hurts me and it offends God. But if I sin, now I have an advocate. When Jesus saved me, His death saved me from all of my sin. But after I got saved, I found out I was a lot worse sinner than I thought I was. Now stick with me. As I start reading the Bible, I didn't know all that was expected of me. And then I went to church, and through the preaching of the Word of God, I saw things that I didn't see when I was reading my Bible. So, I've been saved this morning. I've been saved 34 years, and I have a much better understanding of why I needed salvation than when I got saved. I think everybody can understand this. But when I sin now, I understand I have a defense attorney that speaks on my behalf, and I am renewed day by day. You say, what's Jesus doing? Every time I sin, Jesus is an advocate speaking for me, saying, Father, He trusted me as His Savior. I died for that sin. You said You accepted my sacrifice. He's pleading for me, just like He pleads for you presently, today. Your past is covered by the salvation that He's provided. Your present, He's pleading for you. Much more, you're being saved by His blood. Jesus is alive to maintain my cause in God's courtroom. And guess what? Jesus has never lost a case. He pleads every day. You can't be good enough to stay saved because you don't even know what good enough is. You can't live it because you still don't know all the rules and expectations are. We're still learning and growing as we read the Bible. Somebody says, well, Jesus saves you, but it's up to you to live right to stay saved. Do you know everything about the Bible? Nobody does. There's things that you do wrong that God doesn't show you yet. If God showed you everything you did wrong, you'd get discouraged. You know what God convicts me about? What I can deal with now. Right? But there's things I do that God doesn't. There's things I violate Scripture every day. But God convicts me and deals with me what He wants me to grow in today. But if God showed me everything that was wrong with me, I'd be like, there's no hope. We're doomed. That's what growing in the Lord is. That's what's supposed to happen. Nobody reaches any point in their life, well, with my friends, with my music, with my entertainment, with my service, nobody has arrived in any area. And if you're truly growing in the Lord, you're learning. That's how come I pointed out to you, as I learn music, and as I teach music, and as I study music from the Bible, there's songs I regret recording. I actually recorded a B.J. Thomas song. If you don't know who B.J. Thomas is, you know, in the 70s and 80s, he had, you know, whoa, one of those real smooth voices. His wife is a New Ager. But I heard, you know, his song, I'm Going Home, and I thought, oh, that he must be talking about heaven. Ask him. He wasn't. Said he was teaching about the New Age and the, you know, reaching Nirvana and all of this other stuff. I actually sang one of those. I put it on one of my CDs. What's that mean to me? I have regrets because I'm growing in the Lord. I don't okay everything I've done just because, well, I've done that since I've been saved. I hope I'm still growing. I don't know. You know what we know about the Bible? It's like go to the shore, wade out about ankle deep, and then look at the horizon of water. All we know about the Bible is just what's coming to our ankles. The rest of God's truth is out there, and we're learning it as we grow in the Lord. Right? But no, I've not arrived. I've not arrived in any area of my life. I'm still learning. I hope you're still growing, and you want to. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So that's the salvation in the past. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So, I am not the one holding my salvation together. I am not still saved because I don't sin. I am still saved this morning because Jesus doesn't lie. That's why I'm saved this morning. Jesus died to save me, and He lives to keep me saved. Now, go back to Romans chapter 5, and let's look at verse 9. Let's look at the third part here. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood. See the words, we shall be saved? We shall be. That's future tense. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. So listen closely. Before the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation 21, In Revelation chapter 20, every person who has not placed their faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for them on the cross is going to be cast into a lake of fire that burns for eternity. Listen, I can read about it, I can talk about it, I can teach it, and I can preach it. Listen, but I never fear it. I never fear hell. Psalm 91 verse 8 says, "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." I'll see people cast into hell. But God says, only with your eyes you'll see it. You'll never experience because you're saved. In 1 Thessalonians 1:10 it says, "To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." What's that? Hellfire. People don't want to hear about hell. And Christians don't talk about hell because they're more concerned about offending somebody than they are that person that they're talking to waking up in hell. This morning, as a child of God, I never fear hell because I've been saved from the wrath to come. God does spank his children when they do wrong. I read that in Hebrews chapter 12. We can take you to several places in the Bible. But listen closely, there's no place in the New Testament where God ever pours out his wrath on anybody that's saved. The tribulation is the wrath of the Lamb, but that doesn't start until after the rapture. That's when God pours out his wrath upon the inhabitants of the earth. So, the one who saved me from that hell, and the one who is keeping me saved, he is also the one who has saved me from the wrath to come. So guess this morning what I'm doing. I'm looking for the rapture. I'm looking for the rapture. I'm not just saved from what I used to do. I'm saved from what I'm doing right now. And I'm saved from what would have happened to me if I didn't get saved. Past, present, and future. When we say Jesus saves, we mean a whole lot more than anybody can imagine. We mean you're saved forever. Jesus Christ will secure to you the promise he made to you because of the death he died for you. Amen? Now, look at Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Look down at verse number 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And not only so, that word, those three words, not only so, it's like saying, not just that. God says, I died for your sins, I saved you from your sins, I am saving you from your sins of the past, I'm saving you in the present, and I'm saving you in the future, and if that's not enough, not only so, there's more. You can enjoy what God's done for you. Listen, do you see what it says there in verse 11? "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Here's the application of the sermon. You can joy in what God's done for you, or you can dwell on your past and let it discourage you. Are you going to enjoy being saved, or are you going to camp out in your past like you weren't saved from it? Every one of us could wallow in the past and its disappointments and its pain and its frustration. Or we could rejoice in what God's done for us like we're supposed to. That's what the Bible says. That's what we read. Not only so, everybody, I tried to point out to you this morning, Romans 5, God says, I've saved you from your past sins. I'm saving you now. I'm saving you in the future. So verse 11, and not only that, you could rejoice in the fact of what God's done for you. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Nobody does. Okay? All I know is I'm not going through the tribulation. I'm not going halfway through it like some idiots teach. I'm not going through any of the tribulation. And I'm not going to go to the lake of fire when I die. All right? Romans chapter 5, it says here, "Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." There is something for all of us to be discouraged about, but if you're saved, there's something you could praise God about too. You could rejoice. You say, but oh, they're trying to impeach the president, and they're trying to cause a mess over here in Virginia, and it looks like that nobody knows what next week holds. There's plenty to discourage everybody. Or you could enjoy being saved today, and you could praise God that you're never going to go to hell. Can I show you a neat verse? Go to Luke chapter 10. Ready? Watch this. Luke chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke. I have two more places I want to show you this morning. Luke chapter 10, I wish you'd just think about this. Luke chapter 10, and look at verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Serpents and scorpions in your Bible, Jesus is saying, I give you power over every demon of hell. If a witch came up and said, witches that, covens that fast and they pray for the destruction of pastors and churches. And if a witch came up to me and said, I'm placing a curse on you, I'd say, curse all you want. God says he's given me power over everything, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Now, if you submit yourself to the devil's atmosphere and you want to go to the nightclubs and you want to listen to the devil's music and you want to hang around the devil's crowd, you submit yourself to the devil has access to you. But if you want to separate yourself, try to walk with God. God says, I give you power to crush all of them. And look at the next verse. Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding, even though the demons are subject to you, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's Jesus saying that before he died on the cross. He said, nothing of the devil can access you or get to you if you'll walk with me and accept me as your Savior. He said, but don't get wrapped up in that and the spooky stuff. He said, just enjoy being saved. Enjoy that your name's written in heaven. And when I get there, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll... The roll, the list is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. My name's written in heaven. Rejoice because of that. Christian, that's two places in your Bible. Can we just look at one more where God says in Romans 5, not only so, but rejoice in the fact that God saved you now. Then we looked at Luke. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Ready? Philippians chapter 3. We'll wrap everything up with this. The name of the sermon is Salvation Past, Present, and Future. And God says, I've saved you from all of it. And what I've given to you, you have reason to be. I understand all of us have heartache. All of us have frustrations and disappointments. But you could be saved. You could be glad this morning in your salvation. Look, that's why I told you, that's why we sang that song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Everything in this world is going to change. God's the only one that doesn't. God's the only one that's ever kept his word. Everybody, let God be true and every man a liar. Nobody's fully ever kept their word except God. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. Philippians 3 verse 10. In this book of joy, where Paul writes it from prison, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, semicolon. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, I'm living for my resurrection, for one day when I get to see Jesus. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Here's what I know it's beautifully worded, but you got to think about it. He says, I'm not perfect. I've not attained. I have not arrived as a child of God. He said, but you know what? Jesus saved me or seized me or apprehended me for a reason, and I'm living for the reason that Jesus saved me. And I cannot get wrapped up in my past failures, in my past sins. I cannot. There's some people, they don't go forward for God because of all that they've done. Well, I'm just not worthy. None of us are worthy. I'm not worthy to stand up here and preach the Word of God. I get to preach the Bible because Jesus called me and He saved me by His blood, and I stand up here clean before you as a child of God. But am I worthy to be a preacher? No, I'm not worthy. He says, I'm trying to apprehend or seize that which from which I was seized. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or seized what I was saved for, but this one thing I do, watch, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Best thing I can do about my past is I realize it's forgiven and forget it and move on. Quit dwelling on it. But I did this and I did this. If you're a child of God and you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross, you're saved and your past is covered. Your present, He's saving you now and He's saving you from hell in the future. Then move on or you can't have joy. Look at the next verse. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many be perfect or mature be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know what the name of the story is in chapter 3? You don't think Paul had things that haunted him? He killed Christians. He tortured them while quoting Old Testament Bible verses to them. Then he preached in the churches where the wife and the kids would come to church, and he knew he killed the dad. There were reasons he didn't take offerings. He had a past to deal with. He said, you know what? I have to realize I'm forgiven for that. And I'm going to push forward for the reason God saved me. If you want joy, you're going to have to move on from the past. Christian, don't say getting saved was the greatest day of your life and then live like it's not. It is great to be saved, but it's better to enjoy it. It's better to enjoy it. Salvation, past, present, and future. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth this morning. Thank you, Lord, to study what you've done for us when you saved us, to realize what you've given us.